Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am TJ Jackson, and with me, I have Taj Jackson.
What's up, TJ?
How are you, man?
Good. I'm doing great.
Doing very well. Terrell is not with us today, but he has a valid excuse. So if we were in school right now, it'd be an excused absence.
Yes, we made sure of it.
He got vetted and we made sure. Do we need to tell why he's not here?
I think we should, but we should definitely do an episode when we come back about it. But yeah, let's tell. We should. I mean,
he's been telling people, right?
He's been telling.
Okay. Well, you decide. I'll finish the intro. We are live on the Power of Love show. So if you're listening to us right now, thanks for joining us. Later on in the show, we're going to open up the phone line. You can call us at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. If you have any questions or comments about our guest or topic today, please call us. And if you're afraid to call or too shy or whatever the reason, you can also tweet us at DDJ Foundation.
Yeah.
Again, it's DDJ Foundation.
Yeah.
And Taj and myself will be on Twitter.
Yes.
So we can't just blame Taj if your tweet doesn't get read.
If it gets ignored.
If it gets ignored. So we'll both be handling it since Terrell's not here.
Yeah.
Anyways, we are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions and attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through, saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please don't rely on us only.
Mm-hmm.
Taj, what is today's date? Exactly.
Why would you do that to me? I honestly don't know.
It's August 22nd.
Okay, good.
That's my brother. Anyway,
I have no idea.
It's 1:02.
I just know it's Wednesday.
Oh, goodness. But it's a beautiful day.
Yes.
I'm leaving to Europe tomorrow.
That's probably why you know.
That's probably why I know.
Exactly.
You're not leaving till this weekend, but
yeah. We're
going to talk real quick about what's going on.
Yeah.
The week, what happened.
Yeah.
But before I'll start, actually, we have two big shows in Europe. So next week we will not be here.
Yeah.
And the week after we won't be here.
Yeah.
We'll be in Europe enjoying the beautiful, all the countries.
Yeah.
We're going to three, I think.
Think so.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out. But anyway, we'll see. We'll be in Europe,
possibly four.
And we won't be on live next week.
Yeah.
With that said, Taj, I'll let you start. How was your week?
Week was good, but I think we should say what happened to
go ahead,
Terrell. Terrell, we were at rehearsals for our show.
Yeah.
He picked me up actually. So within a 3-hour period. From 8 o'clock till 11, his house was robbed.
Yeah.
And because this is a show about loss and grief, and it really, I mean, obviously it takes a toll on anyone that's, she's been there for 20 something years.
Yeah.
And so I felt really bad for them in general because I live really close to Terrell, so I was able to come right when he said that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just it's like there's like a violation, but at the same time, the stuff that was taken was really
important to him,
very personal. I don't want to say what it is without him being here, but a lot of stuff that's irreplaceable.
Yeah. What advice did you give him? What did you tell him? How did you? Because you were the first one he talked to.
I mean, the thing for me, which is, I think, some of the stuff that was taken. I think the people that like their personal mementos.
Yeah.
And I think the people that it was involved.
Yeah.
How do I say it like that?
Yeah. The people are the perpetrators.
Yeah. Well, I can say one of them was mom's stuff, some letters from mom and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think mom would be more happy that no one was hurt
and
that everyone was safe. And that,
is that what you told him?
I did tell him that. I mean, it doesn't help that much in terms of that. Cause at that
for
point
him.
He's thinking all the stuff that he's lost.
Okay, so first of all, I told him the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I was asking, going down this line of questions, because our guest today kind of relates to our guest.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get further into that, I want to talk to you about anything else that happened in your week.
Just rehearsals, right?
Yeah, just rehearsals.
I'm looking at you. Packing. Like, I mean, yeah.
We got Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
The late, great Aretha Franklin, who I had the privilege to meet and interview a couple years ago. And she was just an absolute sweetheart.
Yeah, pioneer.
Very maternal and loving. And
a legend, yeah.
An absolute legend. Another thing I wanted to talk about, too, that I did was on behalf of DDJF, I went to the Our House of Grief, Camp Aaron.
Yeah.
And that was so impactful because basically the camp is for kids who have lost someone in the last, I want to say 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it's a significant loved one. Most of them were a parent that was lost. And it ranges from, I believe, 6 years old to 17-year-old kids. They had over 80 kids. And it was just really impactful and so powerful what they're doing, because they're letting those kids know they're not alone.
That's great.
And you know, there was a time where they introduce themselves and they say who they're there for and what happened to that person. And it was just heartbreaking but empowering at the same time. And the one thing I noticed is a lot of these kids were losing their parents or a loved one, significant loved one, to two things. It was either cancer or it was a suicide.
Wow.
I mean, there's other things.
Yeah, but that was the main
ones. Those were the overwhelming. And, you know, hopefully we'll find a cure for cancer soon. Mm. We lost our grandfather last month to pancreatic cancer.
Yep.
But also to suicide, you know, and hopefully, you know, in 30 years or so, both are kind of fixed. And, you know, I know with suicide, a lot of it's stigma and just depression and mental health. But hopefully, sooner than later, we can find ways to help those who are struggling with either of those. But I just wanted to mention and give a shout out to Our House Grief, because they and Camp Aaron, because it was very, very just commendable.
Yeah.
You know, at being in this organization, Taj, the DDJF one, we look to see who else and how we can make a bigger impact. And that was one foundation that I at least look up to see what we could do even better.
Oh, that's great.
So shout out to them. All right. So anything else, Taj, that we need to discuss or talk before we introduce our lovely guests?
No, not that I can think of.
Okay. So Terrell's actually, we should tell him what he's doing. He's just preparing his home.
He's making it stronger, like Fort Knox.
Yeah. So in case anything happens, he'll have more info.
Yeah.
With that said, let's get straight to our guests. We have today with us Lindsay Joy Taylor. She is a jewelry designer and a grief support advocate. She lives here in California with her husband and canine. She says a canine kid, which is a term, kind
he's
of a phrase.
Child.
It's a beautiful way to say that. I love that. I'll go straight into it. I want to ask you, because we were talking about your canine kid, and Taj, have you ever heard of a dog having special needs?
A dog having special needs?
Yeah.
I don't know. Dogs are like humans to me, so that doesn't surprise me at all.
It was so interesting. We were talking, and Lindsay was saying how she's there with her husband, and her dog has special needs, and I thought that was, so I was intrigued.
Yeah.
But you were saying, Lindsay, your dog has, what is it?
So about 4 years ago, he had a bone spur that ruptured, and one morning we woke up and he was paralyzed. He could not walk.
Oh.
So he had emergency surgery. And naturally, I should say, as our kid, freaked out.
Yeah.
You would anyway, but we just were really concerned. We put our all in for the surgery. He had a great recovery, but he can't necessarily jump. He can't necessarily control his excitement and things like that. So he definitely needs a little bit more assistance moving forward, but he's earned it.
Yeah,
but I love your mindset and that they have you as parents. Or
yes.
He has you as parents.
Yes.
It obviously makes sense. I mean, dogs would have special needs and other animals, of course, but I never heard that. So it was
interesting. Well, Rascal was, you know, my dog Rascal, a little toy poodle, like around the age of three, she started going blind.
Oh,
so it, things, it was really early, which is, I've had other toy poodles and it's never been the case. And yeah, she deteriorated very quickly, very early, but then maintained all the way to 13. So it's like from a young age, she was always like, you know, I would have to pick her up and, you know, take her places and all that stuff. But she was also like a little teddy bear in that
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. So you understand completely.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know what the term was. Yeah. But I understand. Yeah. Wore diapers at like, you know, 7 years
Pretty
old.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So Lindsay is with us. Lindsay, your mom was tragically murdered.
Yes.
Like ours.
Yes. Yeah.
You were quite a bit younger. You were a baby, right?
Yes. Pretty I was 13 months old.
13 months old. And now you are dedicating and honoring your mother's legacy with joy and service.
Absolutely.
Before we get into exactly how you're doing that, I have a question, because as we were just talking about Terrell and my brother's, his situation, that Taj, what was your advice again to Terrell? Or what, how did you try to console?
Just in basically, you know, look at the bright side. No one's hurt. No, yeah. You know, there could have been someone in the house when you came home.
And I told him the same thing. And I was telling Lindsay how Terrell's kind of like me, where you're different. You can forget things and say what it was meant to be. This Terrell and I are what ifs and what could I have done. Yeah. And we sit on
reminisce.
That. And I'm coming reflect. To your side of the,
thank goodness.
I'm getting there. Yeah. Terrell's probably the most resistant, but the reason why I wanted this to play out like this is because that's what happened to your mother, right, Lindsay?
Yes. Unfortunately, my family, my dad was traveling with myself and my two siblings. My aunt and uncle had just moved, and my mom had started a new job working graveyard shift. And so she said, I'm working late, take the kids and go help your sister move. And when she came home from her shift, the house was being robbed and they shot her when she walked in the door.
Oh, wow. My goodness. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I wish Terrell was here, but I know he's going to be listening, but it just puts it into perspective.
Yeah.
And the ultimate prize and gift is life, you know? Yeah. And I'm sorry to put you on the spot to say that right here, Lindsay, so early in the show, but I just felt it was important for that message to get out there, that for anyone who's dealing with loss or of possessions or of material things, just remember the optimistic side, the what could have been, and the fact that you're alive is a gift.
Yeah.
With that said, Lindsay, you kind of, first of all, I'll explain what you do. You are now the owner and creator of the Joyful Jewelry Box.
Correct.
Love that name.
Thank you.
Because it ties in your name.
Thank you.
I don't know if you wanted me to mention.
No, absolutely. Thank you.
The Joyful Jewelry Box, where you help bereaved people remember their lost loved ones with meaningful jewelry and keepsakes.
Yes.
On the DDJF Instagram, we posted a couple of your pieces.
Thank you.
One Day at a Time was a really cool one. Mm-hmm. You did, and then if you guys go to the website, thejoyfuljewelrybox.com, you will see there's so many different pieces and cool things to kind of match whatever it is you're into.
Absolutely.
So my first question to you is, how did you get the inspiration to start something like this?
Really out of necessity. You know, growing up, I would say I was pretty jaded, for lack of a better term, but I don't know that I articulated that very much in terms of where that came from. Perhaps people assumed or whatnot, but joy was really not my status quo.
Yeah.
And so for that to be my middle name was really kind of ironic for a long time. I really resisted that. It really didn't feel like it fit. But I always knew I wanted to do therapy or grief support. I had a joke when I was young that I wanted to be the next Dr. Laura. So it's kind of funny. Here I am talking on a radio show.
Yes.
But
here you go. Start.
Yeah, right? Just name it. But so I've always really had the been compassionate about grief and loss and really just providing support to others. Mm-hmm. Very long story short, I thought I was going to be a marriage and family therapist. Went to school for that and really figured out that wasn't the right fit. I'm an advocate. I'm not a therapist. And that gives me a lot more freedom to be able to really focus on what's important to me. Whereas, you know, for therapy, you need to focus on what's important to your client.
Yeah.
So as much as my goal is to serve and support others and provide hope and encouragement, I also want to be encouraged as well.
Yeah.
Right. I created this community because I didn't feel like I had a place for that growing up. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, long story short, I was working in mental health, went to school for counseling, etc. And I was laid off from my job 4 years ago at a nonprofit. Right at the time that the dog had his surgery, we moved houses, kind of all these things happened. And so it was necessity. How do I fill this gap? How do I be home to care for the dog and everything that's happening with this life transition?
Yeah.
And I connected with another jewelry maker locally, and I ended up helping her with some holiday shows. And so that felt like a good fit. So I opened my Etsy shop, and in the beginning, it wasn't grief and loss. It was really bohemian chic pieces and really whatever came to mind. And slowly over time, it revealed itself to me, if you will.
Yeah.
As I delved deeper in and really understood why it was important to me to encourage others and the ways that I actually did connect with my mom. And so when I was young, I used to dig through her jewelry box incessantly and pick out different pieces and keepsakes, and I would then go stash them in my little kid hiding spots. And that was my ritual. And I didn't really realize that that was how I was processing my grief as a child. And it kind of all came full circle.
I think it's so great.
Thank you.
I think it's so great. You have a couple pieces that I'm just going to read because I just think they're great.
Absolutely.
You can't stop the waves, but you can learn to surf.
Amen.
It's A Piece of My Heart Lives in Heaven. It's another piece. One Day at a Time, another piece. But what I love, and I'm not a big jewelry guy, but I have girls. And for anyone that's kind of dealt with loss, even a loss of a puppy, loss of anything.
Absolutely.
That message that could be so close to you, whether it's on a necklace or a bracelet, just to be able to flip it over and see it is very empowering and kind of a reminder. Because in today's world, it's, especially with social media, it's all about what I have, you know, and what you don't have. You know, so it makes it harder for, I think, our younger ones to get through the grieving or to navigate through it. And that's why I love what you're doing,
because
those pieces are permanent with them.
Absolutely.
And they can shuffle through it.
Thank you.
Another thing I want to say real quick before we get to the next question is thank you, because we've never had to reschedule a guest.
Oh, no problem.
And Lindsay was so supportive, and she lives so far away. I got to say that a good couple hours.
Yeah, a couple hours.
Wow.
And she, thank you for, on behalf of all of us.
Yeah.
I felt so bad both times. But the first one was our grandfather, and the other one, we had a special guest from another continent. Yeah. So,
no
And
problem.
You graciously switched. So thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
Todd, did you have a quick question real quick?
No, I mean, for me, I'm just really amazed at, you know, because when you hear about someone's story about loss and that, it's just, it kind of, I really connect with that, because it's turning something. Yeah. For me, I disconnected at one point, you know, from people. Like, I don't want to say there's a threshold now in terms of, like, my mom was my everything in terms of that. And then when mom passed, it was like, I wasn't going through the motions and all that stuff, because I felt like I had to take care of my brothers, like, because that was a mantra that she always would tell me beforehand. And that, but at the same time, it's like, this is the worst that could ever happen to me. And it's like, so my pain threshold was like, I don't even know. It was just, I was just going kind of like, couldn't connect with anyone in that way. Like, I was scared to connect in that way. And so, but at the same time, then it kind of felt good connecting, but then I wanted to connect more. And then it's like, I wanted to spread the hope and love and all that stuff, because I realized that's what I needed and I didn't have. So it's like, I'm going to make sure everyone else that's dealing with it has that.
Absolutely.
And that's what I would think. You know, I was listening to your story, and that's exactly kind of seems what you did. You turned it around and made it like, I'm going to help.
Yes.
And inspire others.
And that's what's happened with me with the radio show.
Yeah.
After 2 years of doing it, I feel more empowered and better and more secure.
Absolutely.
Did you feel a similar thing kind of starting with the joy? The joyful jewelry box.
When it is a tongue twister a little bit over and over, huh?
Did you kind of feel any type of, I don't want to say empowerment, but kind of connection?
Absolutely. As it revealed itself to me, as I said, I felt her sort of leading the way. And certainly God, you know, my faith is very intertwined with my mom. Let me clarify that. She was a very devout Christian, and this kind of leads back to the joy aspect. She dealt with a lot, and the last few years before she passed away were really intense and stressful, and she went through a really dark season, and just her undeniable faith is, you know, 34 years later is the first thing people say about her.
Yeah.
How much hope she had. And so that's why my name was Joy, how much joy I brought to their life in such a dark season. And so ultimately I really felt that full circle element in the sense of, okay, it's time to make a decision about what this loss is going to mean in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I was so young, I watched everybody else grieve.
Yeah.
And certainly I was grieving too, but I didn't see myself fit anywhere. Most people, with the exception of my brother and sister, but they were, they're 6 and 8 years older than me. So still children, but much, a much different perspective. So I didn't realize how I was grieving until I got older and how much I let it determine my outlook on life. Mm-hmm. And
what changed that?
Therapy.
Was it? Okay. Yeah.
Lots of therapy. Okay. You know, I mean, I always knew that I carried these scars.
Mm-hmm.
And I never hid it. It's not like I didn't talk about it, but it's really not something you bring up on Senior Hill in high school, you know? So,
yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and yet it's such a intense story. Everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that. And so that was interesting. It was really interesting for people to know me and know my story. And yet there wasn't an outlet to talk about it there just wasn't really an outlet to talk about it unless I was going to lead that way.
Yeah.
And to answer your question now, I feel very empowered to lead it with joy. Mm-hmm. I realize when you encounter somebody connect with somebody who has just experienced loss, it can feel really trite. It can feel really trite to have somebody say beauty from ashes or find the joy or insert whatever platitude. And I don't want to call it a platitude, but I understand how it can feel that way. And yet for me, it's been my saving grace.
Yeah.
It really has been. I have to focus on the good part. She gave me my mission, right?
Yeah.
She gave me my mission before she left. And so in my early 20s, I really just hit the wall, emotionally speaking.
Yeah.
And as I went through therapy and also graduate school, I realized how much trauma I lived with on top of the grief.
Yeah.
Can
I ask you real quick? When did you start therapy? What age around?
I was 21.
So you started
22.
Late.
Yeah.
What was the reason for the late start? We never did therapy.
Yeah.
We still haven't done therapy.
Yeah.
This has been
this
the closest
therapy.
To therapy.
Yeah.
And it's been great.
Absolutely.
You know? So we always encourage people who are dealing with lots of therapy. But I'm curious to know why.
Real quick. I think one of the reasons we were worried, as well as being Jacksons, we were worried that it might get out there if we tell stories.
We didn't know how private. Absolutely.
Yeah, we were very private.
Absolutely.
And so that was the stigma, too. It's not that we were like, oh, we don't want to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, it was more of that. We were a private family.
Absolutely.
And it was like all of a sudden it's like sharing stuff.
It's already sensationalized,
yeah.
I imagine, to a dramatic degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was I saying, Taj? I forgot.
No, you're just saying about the, I don't know, actually. I interrupted you.
What you said in your 20s for therapy.
Yes. Why I started late.
Yeah.
Yes. So I should clarify, right after she died, my family did do some family grief therapy, as I understand it. I don't know the extent of that at all, really. I remember hearing that we did. And I did, I was really grateful that I grew up in a small, that happened in San Jose, but after that we moved to Tuolumne, which is a small community. And my school really had their eye on me in a way, like now as an adult, I recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did do some therapy where they would pull me out of classes and I would work with someone. And I have some great memories of that. So I don't want to say I didn't do any, but in terms of
the traditional therapy,
I go out, I find my own therapist, build that relationship. It wasn't on my radar, honestly. I was achieving things and it didn't really occur to me that I was struggling with my grief.
Could it possibly be? Just as a theory, that because you were so young, your bulk of your family were going through it shortly after your mother's passing.
Absolutely.
And you were just a baby.
Absolutely.
So it was, I don't want to say you got left behind. Don't.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying.
You didn't speak. You didn't understand language. You didn't understand things. So
exactly.
Maybe when your family was doing more of the recovering, quote unquote recovering, you never missed that page.
Absolutely. And another piece of that I realized in doing the work was, I only have everybody else's experience and memories to go off of for answers. And people have been so gracious, so gracious. This is not a judgment in any way. It just slowly over time you realize, I don't actually know what the real picture is, right? They were traumatized. They were grieving. They were dealing with an awful lot. So you nailed that on the head. But another piece that you, that I think is important to mention that you said was, I didn't talk. So for me, my loss is pre-verbal, right? And so that was a big piece of when I was in school and wrote my thesis. It's actually called The Forgotten Mourners, right? Talking about, talking about the developmental trauma that happens simply outside of the fact that it was tragic. It was horrific. Wow. I've lost my relationship with my mother. That's all terrible. Yeah. But I didn't realize the somatic trauma that I lived with. And that was what really came to a head when I was in my early 20s. Like emotionally, it just it was sort of seeping out of me. And ultimately, I had a, there was a turning point where I was out with one of my best friends and she tapped me on the back and I turned around and I smacked her.
Wow.
it was a very intense reaction and she kind of called me out and said, what was that about? And I couldn't understand why I was so triggered. Simply by somebody putting their hand on my back.
Yeah. Wow.
Right. And so ultimately that, was where it started and I'm still there.
I'm happy you're here, Lindsay, because I think it's a very powerful thing because I like to think of myself as pretty cerebral and I like to think a lot, but if I got to be careful how I say this, but I wouldn't be surprised many families forget about the, you know, a loss, a parental loss would mean to an infant.
Absolutely.
A 1 or 2 year old.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's a serious loss. And you may, even though it's pre-verbal, I love that term, it's still real.
Absolutely.
It's still strong. Yeah. And in some cases could be even more so, you know, like you, well, I can relate to you in this way because I have a horrible memory. Mm-hmm. I kind of have to go by memories and everyone else's image or stories of my mother. There's a couple, maybe 3 or 4 of one-on-one with my mother. For some reason, I'm always in trouble, I think.
It's about right.
You know, that's kind of that's an interesting...
Seriously, I mean, there's at least the first two I'm in trouble.
I'm pretty sure my brother and sister can relate to that. I don't want to speak for them, but...
or she tend to remember those. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. But the point is that there is a reliance on other people's stories and image. And I sensed, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're trying to kind of get your own idea of who your mother was? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Absolutely. No, I think you're right. It, and also what happened and what relationships were like and just, you know, I'd say more of, that's an interesting question because I'm realizing it's more of filling in the gaps of after. Right? Because they're all very forthright. People are forthright about everything. I don't want to imply that they're not. But in terms of who she was and sharing stories and the qualities and how she made people feel, that I have that down. She was incredible. She should be here. She should be here. And I, as I've learned more about your story and your mom, I know that that was the case for your family too. And I'm so sorry. And so I just... it's interesting what I'm sort of stuck in my words in the sense of why am I so curious more about the after, right? Because I don't feel that that is really all that productive necessarily. And yet it is because you nailed it in the sense that it is there's this idea and this wasn't my family necessarily at all. I think that this is society and it's really easy to see how it plays out. But this idea that because children don't remember, they're so resilient. Well, we are. I am really resilient. I'm sitting here talking in a really hopeful and inspirational way about the most tragic thing that's ever happened to me. And yet I don't remember it. And it's the single worst thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah. I think about it every day. It is the reason that I do the things that I do.
You're just like us. It's the same thing. I mean, I tell everyone I think about my mother every day. Think about my uncle every day. And you know, and again, like in your situation, it's the most defining moment in my life was when I lost my mother. Although I was young, although I don't remember everything, it's still the most defining moment.
Absolutely.
And now that I have my own kids, you know, it's they lost out on an incredible grandmother.
Absolutely.
You know, and someone I could rely on to parental advice. So it's something that is incredibly tough, and I hope everyone understands how hard it is to just speak openly about it to the world. But I commend you again.
Thank you
for that.
Thank you.
Okay, I have another thing you said earlier that I thought was very powerful is that everyone has different stories.
Absolutely.
And when you lose a loved one, everyone goes, whether it's a sibling, whether it's an uncle, whether it's a brother, whatever, they're at different points in their life when that loss occurred. Mm-hmm. And that can also play a big role on how you recover or how you go through life the rest of the way. And even earlier, we were talking about it, you wanted to be respectful. And I thought that was so brilliant.
Thank you.
Because your story is not their story.
Not at all.
My story is not Taj's story mm-hmm. or Terrell's story. Mm-hmm. And to add to that, when Taj was talking about the therapy, for why we didn't go, you know, the Jackson reason was one strong mm-hmm. reason, the privacy. But I think even more so for me, I don't know, it may have been, but looking back, it also would have been, I just didn't want to have to relive it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have to go through an hour a week or whatever of feeling like I'm being forced to talk about the most painful
Absolutely.
Moment in my life. Mm-hmm. That was probably, for me, was more of a hindrance on why I didn't want it mm-hmm. than the Jackson thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you got it from Taj because he learned. But I just wanted to make that point because even if you're siblings, even if you're a close family, whatever, this is, twins even, you're going to experience things differently and see things differently. And we have to be careful not to just lump everyone
Absolutely.
Together. Okay, thejoyfuljewelrybox.com. And again, if anyone wants to, everyone's on Instagram. So if you wanted to see what these pieces are, go to The Joyful Jewelry Box. That's the handle, The Joyful Jewelry Box. It's the same website address. Good for you for
Thank
doing
you.
That.
Thank you.
We always somehow mess that up and have three different handles for three
I know that.
Things.
My Twitter one is not that. It wouldn't fit. So.
But I'm really proud of what you're doing.
Thank you.
And think it's so awesome because 2-3 years ago, I wouldn't have realized the power that comes from when you lose something from doing something productive mm-hmm. in honor of it. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to do great music and make my mother proud.
Mm-hmm.
But this radio show for us, or at least for me, has been the most fulfilling way to pay the world back in my mom's honor.
Absolutely.
And I have to say, I assume for you
yes.
and the Joyful Jewelry Box Thank is great. You. Did you, when you started the jewelry, and you eventually found the niche of going mm-hmm. to bereavement and loss.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that would be the taking? Did someone kind of nudge you that way?
I actually worked with a mentor. I worked with a mentor. Her name is Danielle Spurge from the Meriwether Council. Mm-hmm. She's been such a help to me. And she knew how important this was, how important my story was to me. And really sort of nudged it along in terms of, I mean, it wasn't her idea, but there was a program, a branding program, for lack of a better term, that we went through, and it just revealed itself there. Mm-hmm. You know, just it was literally like a light switch. It kind of did one of the exercises, and then, hello, I've been on this road forever. What? Mm-hmm. How did? Of course, I would end up here.
Yeah.
So, it's really meaningful, not only because it's important and needed, and it's helping people, but it's really cool because it feels divine, for lack of a better
yeah.
term.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
What is your favorite piece, or what's the piece that's the most popular, or what's the one that means the most to you?
I really love the symbols. I shared with TJ earlier before you were here, mm. Taj, that the dragonfly is my family's symbol for my mom. And
oh,
wow. I was asking about the hawk for
yeah.
Your grandfather. I've been seeing hawks around
yeah.
lately.
The hawk.
So I really enjoy taking people's symbols.
Yeah.
And personalizing them with either birthstones or initials, and for a few reasons, that symbolism really creates that image, that connection. You can create memories. I have memories of really neat interactions with dragonflies. That might sound corny, but
yeah.
in lieu of having memories with my mom,
yeah.
right? And so it's really, I'm able to take those symbols and help them carry that forward and see it in the world, see that memory in the world, if you will. But it's also, too, that there's a lot of people who don't want to go out with their heart on their sleeve. They don't want everybody to know their whole story necessarily, yeah. but they want to feel them close. And so it's a way for you to have, you know, to share your message mm-hmm. on your own terms, mm-hmm. you know?
I think it's great. So great.
And, you know, it's just always nice to touch and play with. And I'm actually wearing my mom's cross today.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Aww. That's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you... Because I know it's different for everyone. Do you, I say when I lost my mom, I felt like I lost my compass kind of in a way mm-hmm. in terms of my guidance and that way. But then over the years, I feel not only, it's not been over the years, it's been, you know, soon after I felt her guiding me or like kind of leading me down a path. And the more I resisted it, the more it's like, you know, so I've almost like let go and just mm-hmm. like kind of like, been co-pilot in a way, and that's been, it's worked wonders for yeah. me. But I don't know what it is in that way, but that was something for me that like the not only was it it was like an autopilot now yeah. in terms of a way like she's watching over me mm-hmm. and I was just wondering, because some people don't have that, and I was wondering, do you feel that connection?
I definitely do feel that connection, but I also well, let me back up. So yes, I do feel that connection. What do I want to say? Let me choose my words yeah. here. But that wasn't revealed to us for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe 10 years ago now, but I mean, she was gone for about 20 years before that became
a touchstone for us. Yeah.
Right. So, and it makes me think of dreams. I hear a lot of times people either are visited by their loved ones in their dreams or are so sad because they're not. I have not experienced that. And so to flip that experience yeah. on its head, I mean, we all have maybe that outlet where we wish we could connect in that way and that it just might not happen, yeah. unfortunately, but that doesn't mean there aren't other avenues where you can create that connection yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
yeah. Question.
Uh-huh.
You've done therapy.
Uh-huh.
We have not.
Uh-huh.
For anyone who is sitting there with a loss, mm-hmm. who hasn't done therapy, I can simply ask you, why is it important for them to go? But I think that's too simple of a question. My question would be, yeah, I want to know what kind of questions do therapists ask? That's probably the question I want to ask.
Well, if you have a good therapist.
yeah. What can someone expect?
Yeah. Well, again, that also varies, but ultimately they'll schedule an intake appointment with you and they'll sit down and say, why are you here? Share with me why you're here. And you can share that, obviously. And ultimately you get to control where it goes. Again, if you have a good therapist, they definitely need to work with you and challenge you and find modalities that are going to help you make progress and heal, but they also need to be cognizant not to force you into things. This is mm-hmm. your journey. This is your process. And they are simply the conduit to help you reveal what's underneath. So ultimately it kind of depends on what you want. Do you want to talk? Do you need?
So it follows your line of,
that's my advice in the sense of when you look for somebody, think about if you want to be the driver or if you want them to be the driver. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In the sense of you might just be so distraught and no one will listen to your experience or your family, everybody disagrees and we're all grieving differently and you just need an unbiased place to go talk. Mm-hmm. You can say that.
Yeah.
I'm not here for all of the tips and tricks. I need a safe place where this will be private and I can sift through these feelings. Mm-hmm. And yet there's the other side of people who really need emotional health plans, you know, yeah. who really need guidance in terms of different coping skills and mechanisms and
it's great.
The road that will lead you down. So ultimately they'll help you build a toolkit.
That's great.
They'll help you build a toolkit in terms of how to move forward.
Yeah.
I have a question
uh-huh.
and I'm sorry if I'm getting personal.
No, not at all.
If you don't need to answer, you don't answer. Can I ask what happened to the people who took your mother?
They were not found.
They were not found.
No.
In our situation, he was found. He's in jail. Mm-hmm. And every couple of years, we have to go to parole hearings
tell
our story on
and why he should still be there.
Why yeah. he should still be there.
Mm-hmm.
you didn't have to go through that.
No.
So you went through a different type of pain.
Yeah. Well, and it was really interesting. So that's a great point. It is unsolved. And so that adds a lot of questions, you know. I don't necessarily feel like closure is something that, a word that my family uses per se. I don't know that we would have closure either way.
Yeah.
And yet I don't feel like we're sitting around waiting for closure or look, that's not a term that,
yeah,
that applies so much. So there's all of those unanswered questions, and yet fast forward, however long, they did actually pick it up as a cold case. And so that was really interesting.
What does that mean?
They assigned a detective to pick up cases that were unsolved and been sitting on the shelf essentially for however long. And that was interesting, and I would say ultimately unproductive. It kind of
made things worse. Kind of
it didn't make it worse. It just stirred up a lot of stuff for maybe an outcome that we're not going to have, and really, like I said, might not help. Do I want justice? Yeah, of course she deserves that, but she's really made it clear that that's not something that.
Mm.
That's important to her, yeah, where she's at now,
yeah,
right? She's made it really clear that we need to focus, that I need to focus on the good side of it, the joy of it, yeah, because I could really, really be overcome by that other side.
Yep.
For me, it's a similar thing. I mean, ABC in 2020 kind of messed this up, but I think I was the one who answered kind of like, my answer when they want to know my opinions on whether he should come out, because there's a strong push from the state of California to release him
because of his age.
And my input is, it's not going to do anything for me one way or the other. He took the most important thing in my world. He can't bring her back. So my input was, if you as the judges, I guess they're kind of like judges, but the decision makers think he's okay for society and you think it's the best thing for his grandkids, then do it. But don't let another family go through what I went through. So be sure. And of course, ABC took it like we've been supporting his release and, you know, and painted it as he's maybe not guilty after all.
There's a difference. They spend it.
Well, and that's that sensationalism that I'm talking about, in the sense of it's really easy when it's a messy story for them to lock onto details that aren't important moving forward. And you're still here saying, wait a minute, this is my story.
Yeah.
This is my story.
I was just curious because as a young one who doesn't have the best memory, I think I'm the closest to your situation out of us. Mm-hmm. But has done nothing, even though they caught him, even though he's in jail, hasn't changed, I don't think, my grief at all.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. Were you going to say that? I thought I cut you off.
No, I mean, I'm listening to your story and everything like that. I really am connecting with it in a certain way, because for me, it hits a lot of notes that I've dealt with in terms of that, in terms of even, you know, it's weird because there's a lot of, you know, when you're an optimistic person or you're an emotional person or you have a connection, there's also like, there's that threat of the like going the other way in terms of, like, you know, I've always been overly happy and overly optimistic and joyful, but it's like I could easily see if the wrong scenario is going complete opposite and being just as destructive on the other side.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and I say that because it's always, you know, my mom or my uncle that drive me to like say, no, this is the path and all that. And it's not like I'm tempted to go that way. It's just that, you know, I'm so energetic that it can be a pot plus or negative, you know.
Person of extremes, right?
Yeah. That's, I was going to say that's the thing. So I'm going to lean on the good side of the extreme, you know.
So, been on the hard side. Yeah. So let's try out the other side.
Yeah.
Question.
Uh-huh.
In 2-3 years, where do you see Joyful Jewelry Box? What do you want? What's the vision? All right, and if you want to go further out, that's fine.
Yeah. You know, ultimately, I really want to write and speak and continue to grow the community that I've built. I'm really passionate about the jewelry, but ultimately it's the vehicle for the message. You know, it's important to me that people understand that grief is not what it's been painted to be. It's not five stages. It's not clean. It's not linear. And honestly, it probably doesn't end for most of us. If we're really being honest, there is no timeline to that. And this idea that we should move on or be at a certain place by a certain time, etc., is just really, I really want to dispel that message. Mm-hmm. It's important to me to create space that it's both heartbreaking and I can be joyful without feeling guilty, mm-hmm. that I am serving her memory best by doing that.
Have you started writing?
I have. Well, so my thesis was really the opening to that, if you will. So I have written a book. It is published.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is?
It is published, but it's on databases and whatnot. Okay, so you have need research access. But if anybody's interested, feel free to email me and I will send that out.
Aww.
So technically I am published, yes. But I really want to expand on that. That was much more my experience and really understanding how grief played out in my life and the trauma of that. But I'd really like to take that and embrace other people's stories and really create a realistic picture of what grief is.
Yeah, I think that's
what age did you write your thesis?
That's a good question. So I'm 35. I was 30.
Okay.
29.
Yeah.
29. Yeah. So
what have you learned? How has, this is probably my last question because we're at, mm-hmm. almost out of time, but yeah. How has, when I say stages, I don't mean stages of grief, but how has stages of life impact, change with your dealing with grief or understanding of grief? You at 35 versus you at 30.
Yeah.
Versus you at 25. Mm-hmm. What would you say to, let's say someone's 25 in a very similar situation, what advice would you tell them what to expect or what at least mm-hmm. you expect at 30 versus 35? Yeah.
To give yourself permission to grieve, really. This idea that I should be further along, or why am I struggling with this still so much? Because the layers and the scars, mm-hmm. ultimately, you will carry that forever. It's the idea of what you do with it moving forward. And so, you know, I like to tell people that, you know, short of if you're not harming yourself or anybody else, don't let people tell you how to grieve. And yet I also, from a cultural standpoint, I say that lightly because I come from, you know, a very independent family and I understand that that's not the situation for everybody. And so I realize that grief can be actually much more intertwined than my experience was. Mm. But I do think it's important that you allow yourself the freedom to say that's their experience and that's their story and I respect it, but I still have the right to have my experience and my story.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need to fit into a box. And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with me or that I'm broken. It means that I am paying attention to what I've dealt with.
Yeah, that's great. We have a couple minutes. And before we close, mm-hmm. as I told you before, I like to give our guest 30 seconds to a minute.
Absolutely.
On anything you want to talk about.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So maybe I might be repeating myself from what I said a moment ago, but ultimately I just want to say thank you first and foremost to my supporters, people who have come out of the woodwork and connected with me and shared their story. You are making this more powerful. You are creating opportunities for us to talk about this and heal together. I don't believe that grief is one size fits all. You know, if you actually find you're on the other end of the spectrum and you're feeling really grounded, and that's okay too. Mm-hmm. You know, grief doesn't fit into a box. And so give yourself permission to let that experience reveal itself to you. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be the hardest thing you ever go through. And there's going to be days where you want to give up, and you can give up, but you have to wake up the next morning and you have to start again. So
it's well said.
Thank you.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
We didn't read through Twitter. There were a lot of positive comments about how nice your jewelry is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
So, well done.
Thank you.
Keep doing great things. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
Way to turn it into it's like turning a negative into a positive.
It's something that we try to tell people to find whatever it is, mm-hmm. Whether it's music, whether it's poetry, whether it's making jewelry,
absolutely.
Making shirts. Find that way to, I guess
kind of do it in their honor.
And I think to me, like I said, doing this radio show has been the most empowering and comforting thing. So, I just again thank you for joining.
Thank you very much.
Lindsay Joy Taylor, her jewelry company is the Joyful Jewelry Box. You can go to the joyfuljewelrybox.com. And see all our wonderful pieces, some really great especially if someone dealing with a loss and has a, every time I look at the page, I think about my girls, you know, getting them a piece for a loved one. But I just think it's awesome. So make sure you guys all check it out and get something.
Thank you. And can I add one?
Yes, please.
I do have keychains and some keepsakes that are perfect for men.
All right.
So, you know, you don't have to, it on your wrist and your neck, but you know, you can have that piece
and
with
it's
you.
It's much needed too.
Yeah, exactly. Very much take needed. That token.
Very
so,
much needed.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Taj, anything else before we close out?
No. I'm just happy that you shared your story.
Thank you.
Very inspiring.
Thank you. It's really nice to talk to people who, certainly I have talked to plenty of people who grieve, but I have not talked to very many people who have had their mother murdered when they were a child.
Yeah.
So it's just nice to be in
we're not alone.
Company.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We are not
we
alone.
We are not alone. It might take a while to find your people, but don't give up.
They're there.
Yeah.
Great point.
They're there.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, everyone. We won't be back next Wednesday. For the next two Wednesdays, we'll be in Europe. But thank you guys for listening, and thanks for always supporting us. And we'll see you in September. All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.